T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, in any of his all-star games, which is pretty surprising considering it's Steph Curry, but sometimes in those games, you get open shots because there's so many other good players on the team. But what I found interesting is that wasn't the case for Steph yesterday. They were, like, doubling up on him and trying to guard him really tightly. And I wasn't entirely expecting it because you have 4 other guys on the floor that can make plays. I think when you add in that he was going up against Katie and Clay, any time that they matched up against each other, they did not want to be exposed on a highlight reel. So maybe you take that into account. But I also wonder to what degree was he pressing a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, no doubt. Mark Medina joining us on 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Let me ask you this, Mark. You put the truth serum in Commissioner Silver and you say, Commish, was the weekend in Charlotte a success in your estimation? What does he say?
I don't think he needs truth serum, even if he says what he said at the podium on Saturday, that it was a success. It was. I mean, the NBA, this is what All-Star Weekend does with growing the brand, because you have so many people out of the woodwork as far as being credentialed all over the country, asking players. And this is where most of the guys are more comfortable with kind of being lighthearted. They don't have to worry about a back-to-back or a losing streak. So they have fun with a lot of the media, and they can tap into a little bit of their branding opportunities with, you know, whoever they're working with and maybe promoting themselves there. And so I think that this was an extension of it. The fact that you had LeBron basically with all guys on his team that could be his teammates next season because they're going to be free agents only added more to that. So as far as the league goes, you know, Adam Silver has a lot of concerns regarding competitive balance and guys like Anthony Davis making public trade demands. But from a financial standpoint, they're in a pretty good place. I mean, they dominate the calendar for 11 months out of the year.
Mark, when the Warriors get back after it Thursday, to me, the second half of the season, there's one big question. Can DeMarcus Cousins get back to, you know, what he was before the injury? But right now, I'm confident in saying they're better when Iguodala's out on the court.
Well, I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. The Warriors get a sense that DeMarcus's conditioning is going to improve each game. And you've seen that because, you know, at the end of the day, he was out for almost a year with his Achilles injury. But after this All-Star break, it's going to be an interesting litmus test for two things. One, to what extent are his minutes going to be going up? Steve Kerr had limited him around 25 up until the last two games. And he had floated the idea that he's going to get in the low 30s after the All-Star break. So he's going to have that week to let his Achilles heal a little bit. But then the second part is, what does Steve Kerr do with that closing lineup? It was a pretty easy decision for Steve to make a lot of times earlier because DeMarcus was on a minutes restriction. But outside of, you know, him going up against a very big center, I would be surprised if DeMarcus gets a lot of crunch time minutes simply because of what your point is. Andre Iguodala is a better fit for this team because of his experience, how well he's playing, and the fact that in today's NBA, crunch time, like, teams are going small. So having DeMarcus on the floor isn't really a good thing to do.
As far as the actual game itself last night and the chance for fans to get a look at, you know, Kyrie and KD having a couple of moments together and the way all these stars interact, the way that the new All-Star game is set up, do you think that it's working and do you think that they're getting the desired result? Because it's funny when you look at the LeBron roster, it's a lot of guys that are potentially free agents, and then Team Giannis was kind of guys that are locked in. It just kind of worked out that way, but there were the old heads, the LeBron team, which, you know, probably had a few more veterans on that roster in the end, got it done, came back from 20 down. Do you think that it's working, and do you think having these guys playing in that type of a situation where they actually get to pick who's on the squads as opposed to just breaking it up east and west, does that, you know, maybe even fuel more speculation, which, you know, we love, Mark?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's why we're talking about it, right? I think it is. I remember being in New Orleans 2 years ago for the All-Star break, and that game was awful to watch. I mean, Anthony Davis had 50 points, I think, in that game, and that was cool at first, but after a while, the points don't mean anything, and you could tell that guys clearly just wanted to leave New Orleans. They had a good time there, and they didn't want to get hurt. I think a few things have gone into play that has made All-Star weekend a lot better. Number one, to what you said, guys are drafting players, so that adds storylines, that adds some intrigue of, you know, guys playing against each other, with each other. I think the second part is the financial aspect. I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars, but, you know, the winner, I think each guy made $350,000. So it's a nice pocket change for them. Some of it's going to charity. And I think the third thing, moving up the trade deadline, so it's before All-Star weekend, I think allows them to enjoy themselves a lot more. Like, I remember going back to the New Orleans All-Star game, they held out DeMarcus Cousins, and he then learned that the Kings traded him to New Orleans. And so he literally was going to the mix zone talking to reporters, and that's when he found out that he got traded. So I think that there's a lot of unnecessary angst before with players and agents and GMs being in town because they have so much work to do. We're here, guys can actually enjoy the break.
Mark, I'm watching Paul George and his maturation and his improvement, and it's leading me to fear OKC a bit more come the playoffs. And I'm looking at the Western Conference, and I want to ask you, what team is the biggest threat to the Warriors? But is the more I watch Paul George, the more I'm getting scared of him in the playoff series.
You know what? You got nothing to be worried about. It's still the Warriors and 29 other teams, but I will say that if LeBron James is able to stay healthy, the Lakers could be a fun team that keeps it competitive. They're not going to win. They would lose in the first round, maybe in five games, but it would still be a nice test to get them going. But to the Thunder's point, I can see them challenging them to six games because Russell Westbrook's putting up triple-doubles like he always does. But you see, I think, a different version of Paul George this year where he's doing everything right and his production's off the roof, but he's still being efficient. And I'm honestly pleasantly surprised because I thought it was going to be one of those things where it would have to come at the cost of Russell still doing what he's doing because he very rarely has dialed his game back. And you add in the fact that no matter if KD has patched things up with them, there's always going to be spice with him and Draymond with those guys. That's just what has happened the past 2 years. But to your point, it's still the Warriors and the rest of the field. As far as narrowing the gap, that's kind of a conversation for next season. If KD leaves, and then what other moves other teams make in the summer.
Yeah, right now that gap is pronounced. Hey, Mark, appreciate your time as always. You're great to us here at 95.7 The Game, and we appreciate all your efforts. We'll talk to you soon, brother, okay?
I appreciate you. And if I get some casting calls, I'll give you a cut.
No doubt. Appreciate it. That's all we need, Mark. Just remember it, baby. All right, good stuff from Mark Medina out there in Charlotte for the NBA All-Star Game. He's coming back home. All right, let's see what's going on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford. What's up, brother?
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Kind of want to let that play out for a minute. Got me hyped up in here, Guru.
I've been doing this thing for about 5 years.
Yep.
And every white host I do it with, when we come back from the break,
can't they just be hosts, by the way?
They host. They let me know. You just passed with flying colors, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
You just went in.
I bob and weave a little bit.
I see.
No, I love the music. I love the music. I love the bounce. And you know what? I love old school Bay Area hip hop. I love like Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, whatever. If it sounds good, if it's aesthetically pleasing, if it makes my ears tickle, I'm all in.
That's
on
like
it,
my Tupac or Phil Collins. I could do it all.
In the air tonight, baby. Either way, the pop. You just want the drums to drop like Tyson in The Hangover, right? It's my favorite part. Yeah, do that. Hey, tell me that didn't put Mike Tyson back on the map. By the way,
it did.
Yeah, he went from like that crazy dude with the face tat.
Mike, though.
Yeah. I wonder if he had that to do all over again.
Yeah,
would he rock the face tat one more time?
I think so, Kobe.
You think so?
I think he'd let it go.
There's no regrets on that one? Oh, I've seen some interest, obviously, in this modern day. I've seen some interesting tattoos. But the face tat, That's a bold commitment right there.
When you do that, it's like, I'm the man. Yeah.
I'm very comfortable in the fact that I'm never going to have a corporate job in my life. So there's that.
Pretty popular in the local prisons.
Very much so. Gang. Yeah. You want to let them know like what neighborhood you're from and ultimately what prison gang you're representing for. Hopefully that's a problem that we're never going to have, God willing. 888-957-9570. Ryan Covey sitting in for Matt Steinmetz for the next couple of days, of course, along with the big fella, Darrow the Guru Johnson. And we've been kicking this topic around a little bit this morning. The social landscape, the sports landscape in 2019, and you know, I think now more than ever, Guru, and it's only going to continue to trend in this direction, the world of professional sports and the world of pop culture, they are just so intertwined. And, you know, even just talking about the bumper music, right? And, you know, the mixture. Athletes want to be rappers and musicians. Musicians want to be actors. And actors want to be athletes.
Speak on it.
So this stuff all comes together. And these guys, the elite of the world, you know, the popular folks in whatever, it's athletes, musicians, movie stars, they all want to congregate together and they all want to feel special and important. That's why we have these award ceremonies. That's why we have these all-star games. It's a chance to celebrate their greatness. But I think because the world now is really literally in the palm of our hands, we have everything that we want right there. The people that create this media, they know that. And, you know, it's the old adage, play the hits, right? Give the people what they want. Well, what we want is access, more and more access. And because of that, the lines have gotten so small, and that gap, that separation between people and the people that they follow, the athletes and the movie stars, et cetera, it's so small now, and there's so much accessible to us. And to that end, where sports and movies and you know, athletes and musicians, they're all just kind of one. They're all just
entertainers.
You're entertained. Thank you. You're an icon. You're an entertainer. And that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about the Mount Rushmore. And this is, we've put the caveat, they're active athletes. Because if we get into the most influential athletes, that Mount Rushmore, that's a different conversation. Because then you got to get into the Michael Jordans,
all of it,
et cetera. But as far as active athletes in 2019, who's on the Mount Rushmore? And I think what I've got the list here. And by the way, my mom, who, as I mentioned, I know that you're an icon in the world of sports. When my mom checks in, she actually texted me and gave me her list.
What's her name?
Melody, the great Melody Covey. Beautiful woman. Melody and Robert. Those are my parents. Love them to death.
Miss Covey.
Mrs. Yeah.
I'm Eddie Haskell. Mrs.
Yeah, thank you. It's fair. Right. My parents have been married about 45 years. So let's see. My mom said Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Serena Williams, LeBron James.
That was my revised.
Yeah, that was your list. So she's rolling with Guru.
And a lot of people are. But the one guy that didn't like, what did he put? Roger in there?
He put Federer in there.
There is no wrong answer, Covey. But, you know, the days of the Charles Barkley, we're not role models, or I just want to show up and do my job, those days are over, man. Mm-hmm. And watching J. Cole at the NBA slam dunk competition asked to come on the court, and the dunker, I forget his name, had J. Cole's high school jersey. Guess what? J. Cole high school jersey sold out. I mean, that's the type of reaction that we're getting from people that are popular, Ryan, that are at the top of their craft. And right now, J. Cole is can I call him the woke rapper right now? He's good at what he does.
Sure.
But you could just tell everybody in that building that was on his side was a fan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And first of all, the halftime show at the NBA All-Star game lapped the Super Bowl halftime show. It was just so readily apparent, because I think it's still kind of fresh in our consciousness looking at Adam Levine's nipples.
The Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't need that in my life. And
wife liked it, but yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that whole Super Bowl halftime debacle, I'll call it, was basically unwatchable.
Yeah. And the fact that 50,000 people turned it down, that's the problem to me.
Yeah, but the NBA, they got it right. Just, you know, get J. Cole out there. You don't need to overdo it with the production. Well, the Super Bowl a couple years ago, remember they had the guys in the shark suits,
like,
and all that.
40 minutes long. What about halftime? Let's play ball.
Yeah, I really watch the Super Bowl because I want to watch a football game, not because
don't
I care about the commercials.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? And again, this speaks to the incessant need to bring in more fans and attract more people, because they've got Darrow the Guru Johnson and Ryan Covey hooked. Okay, they know that. They don't have to worry about
easy.
Us.
Yeah,
they're worrying about keeping Melody Covey interested for 4 hours. And how do you do that? Well, you have a football game, but what if the football game sucks, which By the way, it did. Then what do? You got to have the commercials. You got to have the glitz and the glamour.
I like that game. When there's one play that can make or break the game, I'm all in.
That was the only thing it had going for it. But even then, and you know what? Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I talked about that. Even when Super Bowl, was it 53?
53.
Yeah.
The Roman numerals throw me off.
I know, it's killing me. Yeah. We're getting old. Even when Super Bowl 53 finally had a chance to get interesting, because no matter how boring as hell the first three quarters were, there's a Lombardi Trophy on the line. It's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. We're good, right? We got it. Even then, when they could have had the moment, Jared Goff had a chance to tie the game. It goes through Cook's hands. Next play, he throws the pick. So even when the game had a chance, because I don't care how boring it was for 3 hours, it could have potentially gone into overtime or been a tie game in the fourth quarter. That really could have been all you asked for, because when you think back to Patriots.
Last year's Eagles.
Let me take it a little further. When you go back to like Patriots, Giants 1, okay? That game wasn't totally entertaining until we get the David Tyree helmet catch and everything unfolds later. Even the second time the Giants beat him, or even the Patriots-Seahawks game. A lot of the Patriots Super Bowls really haven't gotten good until the fourth quarter. Now, obviously, the Falcons was different than the Eagles because those were super high-scoring games with a lot of intrigue, but those Super Bowls became iconic because of what happened in the fourth quarter.
Seattle, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, and so Super Bowl 53, even when it had its chance to be iconic then, it face-planted. So, to me, it was like, through everything, it still could have been great, but it couldn't even deliver in that respect because the Rams never tied the game.
But at the same time, and I hear you, and you are correct on a lot of points, but the fact that you know the players are giving it all that and some because it is the last and biggest game, the fact that the world's watching. My point is, Covey, I tell a lot of people, they didn't go out there and try to. It wasn't scripted. And that's the beautiful aspect of it. But the fact that one play could change or make a game. One, somebody's going to be a GOAT, somebody's going to be a hero, and we will remember it forever. That's why I sit back like, it's not 50-49, but I still get that intensity from the mass media and the people watching and the players.
Yeah, and because ultimately you know that they're going to hand out a Lombardi Trophy. And to me, the most compelling aspect was, are the Patriots going to end up 6-3 under Brady and Belichick? Or are they going to end up 5-4? 6-3 sounds a whole hell of a lot better than 5-4.
No
doubt.
5-4
is like, well, you squeaked out a few.
Let's revisit this, Brady Belichick.
Yeah, how great they really are. 6-3, and to me, the most telling stat is 9 Super Bowls, lest we forget that.
So you're going LeBron with the straight NBA titles.
Yeah, but 6-3 sounds a whole hell of a lot better to me than 5-4. And just quickly, as far as, just kind of looking back, now that we've had a little chance to digest the Super Bowl, if you're the LA Rams, are you still feeling good about Jared Goff as your starting quarterback?
No, not at all. And I'm also not feeling good about my big running back that was on the sideline, like LaDainian Tomlinson against New England Patriots, but he was really hurt.
Right.
I don't know. Something didn't seem right with Gurley on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, and there are reports that him and McVay aren't on the same page. But to answer your original question about Goff, no, I thought he got exposed, and I thought Belichick was the MVP of the Super Bowl with that no-name defense being able to devise a scheme to. Dude, he was off the whole game.
Yeah, I never felt like he was going to deliver.
Jeff Fisher, Jared Goff. No, seriously.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that was really.
And they shouldn't have been there, Covey. Let's put the rat on the table.
For sure.
All right.
And look. We all know what happened in the NFC title game. But, I will still say, Saints, you still had every opportunity to close that game out, and you didn't do it. But it was one call that screwed them. There's no doubt about that. All right, so we've been talking Mount Rushmores. Another conversation that I want to get into, and we were kicking this around this morning. The NBA All-Star game with this new format and seeing guys on different teams, and when you looked at the construction of the rosters, I mentioned this to Mark Medina, you've got Team LeBron had a lot of guys that are pending free agents, and then Team Giannis was a lot of guys that are locked in. And what we were watching over the weekend and what gives us so much interest and what's so intriguing to a lot of us sports fans is the notion of player X playing with player Y. Kevin Durant and Kyrie having some fun at practice. When I was doing the show yesterday from 8 to noon, we were watching the practice and watching those guys having a few moments. Watching Steph Curry throw that lob to Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, you start to think to yourself, who would be the ideal combo for a couple of guys if you're just starting a team from scratch? So, we could throw it out there at 888-957-9570, or you can just text in. Great way to get involved with the show, 95795. You're an NBA GM. you're starting a franchise right now in 2019. You can have two people, and you got to take them as they are right now.
Okay.
Not in their prime. Two guys.
Right now.
2019 version of them in the NBA, like the guys that played yesterday. Which two guys are you building a team around? Who are the first two? You got the first two picks, baby. Both ping pong balls fell in your favor. You got the first two picks. Who are the two guys that you would want to build your roster around? What do you think?
Anthony Davis.
Okay.
One,
all right.
Because I believe the fact that I'm about to name the other piece to this puzzle, he will be better at being a dominant low post person because he'll be playing alongside, ladies and gentlemen, James Harden.
Wow.
James Harden, he's never had nothing to throw the ball down low to. Dwight Howard doesn't count.
Oh, that was terrible.
I was watching that game, and this is a great question. Those two together, I mean, man, a guy that could create, shoot the three, take you off the dribble, and have that option when all goes bad. Or, you know, to be able to play off of Anthony Davis, my gosh.
I mean, that's sexy, right? And it's funny that, you know, when you're talking about building all-star rosters, it's hard to believe that there are a few wrong answers. And look at 209 coming in on the Chilton Auto Body text line, absolutely taking the words right out of my mouth. Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo. 100%. I'm going
Damn.
Curry, and I'm going Greek Freak, man. No doubt about it. I mean, look, you got Steph Curry. I can run my point. I've got a guy with a championship pedigree. I got a guy that obviously can run the perimeter, can shoot. I know he can handle the biggest moments. I know he can be the face of my franchise. I know he can lead. Oh, yeah. And when there's a little bit, not a lot of tread left on those tires, and maybe he's getting towards the twilight, guess who I got waiting in the wings? I got Giannis Antetokounmpo. I got an interior game. I got a perimeter game. Hard to argue with those two. It's got to be Steph and Giannis. And by the way, 4 and 5 said he had Clint Capella.
Harden had Clint Capella. I saw that. I was laughing.
He beat Joe Lewis.
Let me ask you about Giannis. And I know he's phenomenal, dude. He's a mutant. But when teams get back on defense, he is not, you know, that deer in the woods. He's not able to run. So you see a different Giannis. Does he have any part of his game that he needs to work on? Because to me, it's his half-court game.
Yeah.
He's not Giannis like on the break and doing everything with his fast pace. When you get back on D, you can see, and he was working on his jumper yesterday.
Yeah,
the fact that, okay, he's not Tim. What is he? And I think right now, a lot of people overlook that.
Okay.
Yeah, just my two cents.
Okay,
and he's a bad boy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. A lot of people checking in on the text line. Let's see, 510, you guys are off our rocker. Giannis and Steph, and it's not even close. Well, that was what I said. Let's see, Steph and KD, because it's proven to work. Fernando out in Stockton. Hey,
the fact that we have that in the Bay already says it all.
Yeah, that's you know, you talk about the proverbial mic drop scenario.
Yeah.
A lot of people going Curry and Giannis. Any other strong case to be made? What about anybody with Embiid? I mean, if you want a big man, somebody inside and somebody out.
Wow, you woke me up.
I mean, Joel Embiid, I worry about big men. I worry about him breaking down. That's why, to me, Embiid, he had the injury earlier in his career.
It could be a thing of the past.
I worry about the longevity there. I know, and Steph's not getting any younger, that's for sure, but I think Steph Curry still has 5 years of terrific basketball.
And remember, his injury history was far more severe than Embiid. We thought Steph was done. A lot of people did. Oh, it's you know, the ankle thing is going to consistently happen, and now it's a thing of the past. So I'm giving Embiid the benefit of the doubt, and I'm, you know, throwing a flag on myself for forgetting Embiid.
Yeah.
Because you throw him out here with just, what about Kyrie Irving and Embiid? You know, things like, you talk about mismatch and, wow.
Remember NBA Jams, the old video games? I think it was 2-on-2 was NBA Hang Time. That was one of the games back on one of the old consoles. And the 2-on-2 game was always fun because, you know, you had your interior guy and your post guy. By the way, we got to get to this quickly, and a lot of people checking in, we'll get back to you. We do have some breaking news. Bruce Bochy has just announced that he's retiring at the end of the year, and this is via Alex Pavlovich. Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series winning manager for the San Francisco Giants. This will be his last hoorah, Guru.
Let me tell you this, when I just first heard that, if I had one guy to manage a game for my life, it would be Bruce Bochy.
100%.
That's what I think of him, okay? Ryan, I wish he would have did it after last season. And I don't want to be negative. You'll learn this about me. I'm super optimistic. But if they don't get Harper, it looks like they're not. They're in for another long season. And it bothered me watching Bochy, the energy where, as a manager, he can't play and watch the juice get sucked out of him because his roster right now is not able to compete. So he's great, and this is going to be beautiful, but I hate that what I deem to be another losing season will be his last, if that makes any sense.
No, that's fair, because you'd love to see a guy like him go out on top. So this is breaking news if you're just joining us on 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bruce Bochy has just announced that he will be retiring at the end of the year. What does this do for the Giants' potential bid for Bryce Harper? What does that do to that conversation?
And Dusty Baker is on the payroll.
I understand, and he's still in the building. And Giants fans, I mean, clearly when you think about Bruce Bochy, spoken on in reverent tones, I think he will be in the Hall of Fame someday as a manager. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You win 3 World Series titles in 5 years. You get the nod in my book. And just the way that he's gone about his business. But how are you feeling, Giants fans? Digest this news that Bruce Bochy is announcing that this is going to be his final season. I you know what I'd rather... that we knew, as opposed to, like, let's say after the way last season ended, and then you just said, hey, by the way, I'm hanging it up. A guy like Bruce Bochy, A, has earned the right to go out on his own terms. B, we all knew this day was going to come eventually, right? Nothing is forever. And the last few years, I think we've seen it. It's taken its toll on the skipper.
No doubt.
He's here to win, and when you've been so high, when you've been 3-5, winning that World Series in 2014, which we get further away from every day.
Yankee payroll.
Right.
You know?
They did what they did with pitching and defense, et cetera. But when you reflect back on that, and then you look at where this team's at now, that fall from grace, to be so high up on the mountain and then fall all the way as far as this franchise has fallen the last few years, clearly it's taken its toll. Now, if you're the Giants and you're Farhan Zaidi, you know you've got a monumental task ahead of you to rebuild this roster. And I summarily reject the notion that, oh, well, even if you sign Bryce Harper, you're not a contender. Well, if that's the case, why would you ever sign anybody?
Oh, because I would be contender city if they get him. And I'm wondering, Covey, are they trying to get him for this reason, knowing that Bruce, this is his last year? You could be like, oh, come on. I'm just wondering. Because they need a future, and Bryce would be the future,
right.
But at least Bochy would get that new toy to play with and implement in that lineup.
No room for sentimentality in all of this, I think, as far as wanting to send Bochy out on top. But to that end, clearly that would definitely give him a little bit of a little bit of extra pep.
Okay.
We've got a little sound. Here's Bruce Bochy announcing the news. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all set. You know, I'll start this out. I'll let you guys know now that I will be retiring after the season. You know, I'll give you a little background. I did talk to the club today, and I just, that was in the focus. But I told them, and it goes back to last season. I talked to Saves and Larry and kind of let them know what my thinking was, and so I decided to announce it now. And the reason being, there's been so many questions about it, and it's not fair to Larry or Farhan myself or the team. So I'm going to go ahead and get that out, put that behind us, and it's just, in my mind, it's time. I've managed with my gut. Came up here in 2007 on my gut. And so it's a gut feeling that it's time, and it's been an unbelievable ride. And there's so much that I'd be grateful for. With the players, the city, the fans, my ride here. It's time now. I'll stay in baseball and do something, but... I just wanted to let you guys know.
All right, there you go. Wow. Giants skipper Bruce Bochy. This will be his 13th season as Giants manager. Of course, he spent 12 at the helm with the Padres. His managerial record with the Giants, 975 and 969. And, he's got those three pennants and those three World Series titles down on the shelf as well at Willie Mays Plaza. Just general takeaways, Guru, when you're hearing the news.
He's a class act and one of the best voices ever in sports.
100%.
Okay. And I like this. I like the fact that he's putting it out there, and he does deserve the quote-unquote we saw last night with Dirk and Dwayne Wade. This is his last hoorah. He is a smart guy, and why I love him as a manager is he just spoke on it, Covey. He did manage from his gut. I know a lot of managers could say that now with the all the stats and numbers where baseball's at, but Bochy was a gut guy.
Yeah.
And that, the Belichick type of guy. And I do look at his record over 500, 975 and 969. What I'm mad at is a lot of those losses have come at the, you know, the last few seasons. Yeah. And I hate that for him, but still it doesn't target, you know, tarnish his legacy. He's one of the greats, Govey.
Yeah, no doubt. And postseason success speaks the loudest. And when those teams did qualify for the postseason, they ultimately had success. 11-4 in 2010, 11-5 in 2012, and 12-5 in 2014. And, of course, the three parades were pretty special. He, of course, also won a pennant as a manager with the San Diego Padres. But, yeah, the last couple of years, no doubt they've taken their toll. So, Giants fans, 888-957-9570, hearing this news, what does this do for your mindset heading into this season? Does this spell at 2019 just being the Bruce Bochy, you know, ceremony, walk away from the game, the farewell tour, and does this take away of the allure of this season for you at all? And where do the Giants go from here? You know, potential candidates for the next skipper.
Farhan Zaidi.
Does this signify that Farhan Zaidi and him ideologically can't mesh? Is this Bochy reading the writing on the wall and saying this organization is now headed in a very different direction and I'm just simply not the guy to lead them there anymore? Or is it just, hey, he's a grown man. He's been around the game a long time. He's 63 years old. He'll be 64 this season in April, and he's hot about enough.
Yeah, and, you know, he's had some health issues, too.
No doubt.
Bochy, he's battled, and, you know, he's still battling. So, you know, he probably woke up like, you know what, this is it for me. And, again, one of the best big game managers ever for me, Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Man. Future Hall of Famer.
If I had to pick one manager, Bochy would definitely be in the conversation. Joe Torre would be on that list as far as baseball managers.
Jim Leland,
for sure. Tony La Russa would be in the conversation as well.
Lost a couple World Series, but go ahead. Yeah, I know. The Dodgers are
It's
red.
Just like the Patriots losing a couple of World Series or Super Bowls. You can't lose a Super Bowl if you ain't in it, baby. And so there's something to be said for that. But when I think about Bruce Bochy, I think winner, I think class act, and I think player's manager. And now more than ever, Guru, because I feel like the modern day athlete is maybe a little too coddled. I do think it's so important to have a relatable manager. The old ass kicker manager, the Bobby Knight type.
Not today.
Billy Martin. That doesn't work today. And I think Bruce Bochy, he had this amazing ability. You know, he still commands the respect of his players. He still had the ability to relate to them.
He played the game.
But also, he was able to distinguish himself as the skipper, as the boss. And you remember, like, towards the end of Sergio Romo's tenure, him walking off the mound, and he had that little smirk into his glove. And I could just tell, even as far back as then, that it was like, is this really going the way that Bruce Bochy wants to? Is the game right now where does he want to be a part of this?
Right.
And thankfully, the collection of players that the Giants have, you know, the Poseys, the Crawfords, classy guys, right?
Remember a riff with Bochy of the star guys.
And you know why? Because he's the kind of manager that commands that respect, and they kept that stuff in-house. Because you know stuff happens. I mean,
that means your house game is strong.
Of course. You got your house in order. You are a true leader because, look, this team lost 98 games in 2017.
Something would come out then.
Right. They lost 89 last season. Oof. They were the best team in baseball the first half of 2016, and then they went down the tank in the second half. So it was 2.5 years of basically sucking out loud. And even through all of that, Bruce Bochy's still been able to kind of carry himself with that aura of class and respectability. But I also have seen it take its toll on him, Guru.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is why he gets to call the shots. And, Covey, am I coming across wrong if now I want to see Farhan Zaidi, who they're going to choose? And we may not know. Does it sound ludicrous if I think maybe he took this job knowing who might be the manager after Bochy? I know that's under wraps, but
I'm sure he's got some ideas.
Is it bad that I find that fascinating? Like, who's going to be their new skipper?
Yeah.
Is that taken away from Bruce?
No, not at all. I mean, look, Farhan knew that this was going to be a long rebuild. He knew he had a 63-year-old manager, so he wouldn't be doing his job as the president of baseball ops if he wasn't considering all possible alternatives. He knew that this was a reality. All right, Giants fans, 888-957-9570. If you're just joining us, Bruce Bochy has announced he's retiring at the end of the year. This according to Alex Pavlovich, and of course, we heard the sound there from Bruce Bochy himself. So we'll react to that. Let's get your thoughts as well, Giants fans. It's Ryan Covey. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson. This is 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Happy President's Day, everybody. Breaking news out of Major League Baseball, and it is big news for the San Francisco Giants. Bruce Bochy has announced that he will be retiring at the end of the 2019 season. Obviously, the last 2.5 years have been a tough road to go for the San Francisco Giants, but I think it's very important, first and foremost, Guru, to reflect on the contributions of Bruce Bochy to Bay Area here, to Bay Area baseball and the San Francisco Giants, and just what he's meant to this city and his place in history.
Yeah, and you talk about 3 World Series in 5 years. You know, it wasn't a large payroll. I keep talking about citing the Yankees and Dodgers. Oh, this is why they're winning. He did it his way, you know, and I'm just like, the Bay Area owes this guy so much. And the ability, uncanny ability, Covey, to be able to manage with his gut is why I like Bruce Bochy. And I just wonder, you help me out, how different this season's going to be now, or what will anything be different? The fact that the players in that clubhouse know he's gone after this season.
Yeah, and I think it's important that they do know. And the feeling that I get from Giants fans is they know that change has been in the air. And let's face it, change has been necessary. Not maybe as far as Bruce Bochy, the manager, is he
just
capable of leading
this
team?
Right.
A new voice, absolutely. And really a new leadership core. And I think with the change to Farhan Zaidi, moving on from Bobby Evans, and just the new style, the new approach to baseball, the way the game has changed, I think it is time for
maybe
a fresh
younger
perspective.
Voice. I hear you.
And with all due respect to Bruce Bochy, he's earned the right to ride off into the sunset. He's earned the right to have his, you know, his whiskey on the rocks out on his boat, fishing and doing the things that Bruce Bochy loves to do. Bruce Bochy had earned the right, to me, to basically manage as long as he won, as long as he didn't get ridiculous. Because I always knew in my heart of hearts that Bruce Bochy wouldn't stick around if he felt like it wasn't in the best interest of the Giants anyway.
Does it feel like he's been here 12 years, 12 seasons?
It does. Yeah, it's been a while.
See, look at it, that has nothing to do with the current state or the W's or
no,
L's.
I just think of three.
Because this was his town, you know?
Yeah, I think of 3 and 5, man.
Now you got Steve Kerr here, you know, and you look at what he's doing. But Bochy had that, 3 and 5.
How about this? Bruce Bochy, 11th all-time for managerial wins, 1,926. He will, in all likelihood, this season, he could definitely get into the top 10. Leo DeRocher is 2008 wins, so he could definitely, the Giants would have to have a pretty nice year in order for him to pass Walter Alston, but he could definitely move into that top 10. Giants fans, let's react to the news. Let's get out to the phones at 888-957-9570. The big news just coming down here in the last few minutes, Bruce Bochy announcing that 2019 will be his final season at the helm as Giants manager. Let's go to Dr. Hustle in the house on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Dr. Hustle?
What's going on, fellas? What's up, Guru Player? How you doing, man?
All right, hanging in there. Big news.
You know, it's a sad day, but it's a great day. You know why? Because usually the end comes abruptly, man, and you don't know and you don't get to say goodbye. But we know Bochy's going to leave. The Giants need to celebrate all year when he hits his 1,000th win, when he hits his 2,000th win, when he plays the Padres for the last time. I mean, look, at 25 years straight head coaching, 63, it's a grind, man. And this guy, he done it better than anybody's ever done it in San Francisco. Like the great Bret Hart says, as far as managers for the Giants, he's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. So, you know, we got to give Bochy his love, man. Thank you for all he did for the Giants fan. I'm a huge Giants fan. And, you know, he's going to get that 1,000th win with the Giants. We got to send him off with a parade. Nice to these guys like Dwayne Wade. You can send them off the right way, man. Thanks. That's Dr. Hustle, Dr. Notes. Guru, you're an officiary hustler, too. We're giving you a card.
Hey, Dr. Hustle, I want to ask you. Oh. I appreciate the phone call. That's good stuff. When they do need a new manager, is there anybody that comes to mind that you would like to see Captain Kirk, the San Francisco Giants, next season?
Did we lose Dr. Hustle? Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. All right. And we'll definitely kick that around. Yeah. I want to get into the conversation of who will be fit. And keep
that's
in mind,
fair. That's, yeah, that,
we'll,
yeah.
We've got a next generation mind of baseball operations in Farhan Zaidi. Wow. So is it going to be, I don't think it'll be one of those old heads. I think it'll be somebody young, somebody probably with a deep scouting background, somebody kind of boots on the ground with.
May not have their way of doing things.
Pretty good finger on the pulse of, you know, the younger generation of baseball player and the younger prospects. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants find somebody to promote from within the organization. I really wouldn't. But to me, I think Farhan Zaidi probably wouldn't be doing his due diligence if he didn't already have a list of candidates in mind even before this announcement was made.
Covey, you make so many great points, but let's keep it real because we've been talking about social media and somebody at some juncture will probably ask this, and I'll ask you. The fact that there is a new boss in town, do you think this was just Bruce Bochy really, you know, just being tired or looking at it like, you know what, this is my last season? Or do you think there could be, you know, we may not know, we may. So a part of, I don't like to, you know, I do it this way. I don't like this new way that's coming in. This could be my last 162. You think there, is that fair to even ask or speculate?
I think it's probably a bunch of different things. And this is what we do here, by the way, Guru, is speculate. I mean,
hello?
If we don't have the, you know, facts to go on, that's what we do is speculate. So the way I read it is a couple of things. First, clearly, he's already accomplished all that he would ever hope to accomplish. He's going to be top 10 in managerial wins in all time. We know where his place in history is. So as far as that is concerned, nothing left to worry about, nothing left to prove, no problem. It seems like a reasonable time to hang it up anyway. This team's been losing a lot. It's taken its toll on him. He's had his health issues. I think that's part of it. And then the third layer, that, and I would prioritize it in that way. I would put this third on the list. Yeah, clearly this team, this organization is going to have a fundamental shift in the way they approach the game. And dare I invoke analytics yet again, but that side of the game and the changes that are coming in Major League Baseball.
Because it's real. The analytics is real.
Yeah, and Farhan's baseball philosophy. I mean, even the fact that we're talking about a quote-unquote closer starting the game.
Mad Bum's not having that at all.
But my point is the fact that we were even have a conversation like that just is a clear signal to me that times are changing. And maybe it's just time for Bruce Bochy to just ride off into the proverbial sunset. And let's face it, he's earned that right. He's going to have a statue down there.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt. The sooner the better, too, Covey. I just wish I had a magic wand to where I could make sure that Bryce Harper ended up in this lineup for Bruce Bochy's last season.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, oh, they win the NL West, but Covey, I can look you in the face and tell you their chances, I'm stating the obvious here, would be better, and I want nothing more than Bruce Bochy to go out on a winning season as opposed to I'm hoping it doesn't mirror what we saw the last three seasons. That's my fear. You know, by the All-Star break, when you know in baseball you're out, or you're not going to make that run.
Sure.
I don't want him to have to endure that.
Yeah.
I'm still crossing my fingers that Bryce Harper lands in San Francisco, and that could be a pipe dream in itself, but still.
Yeah, and I don't know, per se, what this news does to the potential free agent candidacy in the bid the Giants are making for Bryce Harper, because you could look at it two ways. One, you could say, oh, well, if you're Harper, why would you go to this organization that's in flux? But the other side of it is you're signing, you know, what would probably, if the Giants do land, it would be anywhere from 8 years beyond. So maybe it's the Giants signifying to Bryce Harper that we are on the cutting edge, we are making changes, and we are looking to the future.
Yeah, interesting.
And so and by the way, Bryce, because you're an integral piece of this, you're going to have behind the scenes, you know, a little bit of say in what goes on around here because you're such an important piece. The same way a guy like Barry Lamar Bonds did, you know, when he had his recliner in the clubhouse. Obviously not to that degree, but my point is you can now sell to Harper and Boris, hey, this is an organization where change is coming, and we're being proactive about that. And guess what? We'll see how you mesh this season. We'll see what pieces we need. And when we'll go out there and for our managerial search for 2020 and beyond, we will keep your skill set in mind and the things that you need as the star and essentially the new face of our franchise.
Yeah, and when you talk about Farhan Zaidi, I'm not shocked if he hit his little black book. I mean, he took the job knowing how old Bruce Bochy was.
Of course.
And that there was probably, you know, he's loved by the fans in the Bay. He is part of the Bay Area and the Giant baseball. My point is, at the end of the day, even in business, forget baseball, sometimes you just need a new voice.
That's right.
And I said it last year at times, and it wasn't saying, oh, Bruce Bochy's managing bad. I was just like, you know what? It's been there and it's been said the same way for so long. Maybe in dire straits and bad times, Covey, you need that new voice.
Right.
And now the team is about to embark on that. And I'm kind of excited. I don't want Bochy to go. His swan song will be this season. I hope some way this could be his best season just to get them to compete for a wild card. The last week of a season, to me, that would be a win. But go ahead and win the division. But I'm kind of excited because this falls under this announcement. New blood is on its way. That could be Bryce Harper, But Dabba is going to be a new manager next season.
Yeah, and you can do both. I think Giants fans have the ability to, A, show the respect and have the perspective on what Bruce Bochy's meant to this organization and all that he's accomplished, while also being excited about the future. To be excited about 2020 and the potential of a new voice coming in here and the next era of Giants baseball, that's not a knock on Bruce Bochy. That's sports. That's life. The cycle turns. Seasons change.
Look what he when the farm system was packed. Look what he made, the greatest meals ever. And I don't look and say the Giants are struggling now, Ryan, because of Bochy.
No,
he's
I don't think anybody does.
On my list.
Yeah.
They ran out of product.
Right.
And now you got to replenish the farm system.
Yeah.
And you need that new buster, that new mad bum. It's a cycle. And right now the Giants farm system, unfortunately, they produced a lot. You won 3-5. But damn it, it can't keep going that way.
Well, it hasn't been for 2.5 years.
Unless you're the Patriots, yeah.
Well, but I'm talking about for this franchise. Yeah. I mean, clearly things have not gone the way that they'd hoped for the last 2.5 years, and there's a litany of reasons why. But by the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. If you're just joining us, it's Ryan Covey, it's Daryl the Guru Johnson. Happy President's Day, everybody. The news coming down here in about the last half hour that Bruce Bochy has announced that 2019 will be his final season at the helm as Giants manager. Matter of fact, let's re-rack that sound if you're just joining us. Bruce Bochy talking to the press, making the announcement. Here's the Giants skipper. Go ahead.
I'll let you guys know now that I will be retiring after the season. You know, I'll give you a little background. I did talk to the club today, and that was in the focus, but I told them, and it goes back to last season. I talked to Saves and Larry and kind of let them know what my thinking was, and so I decided to announce it now. And the reason being, there's been so many questions about it, and it's not fair to Larry or Farhan, myself, or the team. Get that out, put that behind us. In my mind, it's time. I've managed with my gut. Came up here in 2007 on my gut, and so it's a gut feeling that it's time, and it's been an unbelievable ride. So much to be grateful for. The players, the city, the fans, right here. But it's time now. I'll stay in baseball and do something, but I just want to let you guys know.
All right, there you go. Bruce Bochy making the announcement today. And I think it's important to look at this from a couple of different ways, Guru. Obviously, a period of respect and reflection for what he's accomplished. But what does this do to the 2019 season? Because we're about to watch 162 Ooh. Baseball games, and I'm not one for farewell tours. I'm just not. Maybe I'm not that sentimental in that kind of way.
No, I get it.
I think fans pay too much for tickets. Players are making too much money to be caught up in so much pomp and circumstance. I do like to know the deal. I like that Bochy's letting us know, hey, this is it. So now Farhan can plan for the future. But to that end, they still got to play 162 baseball games. And they still got free agents they need to go and try and acquire. They still got a Madison Bumgarner contract to either dole out or not. They still got to worry about Brandon Belt and Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford and bringing
Jesus.
Up those prospects. There's a lot on the table here. And to just have a lame duck manager, have a guy that you know is on his way out, is that the best thing for this franchise right now?
You know what? I got melancholy just listening to him as like old uncle or pops. You know, a guy speaking the truth. There's no phony or fakeness with Bruce Bochy. And I'm going to go Bobby Brown on you. It's his prerogative. And what you just cited could be the reason that he's looked himself in the face. Like, when this thing does, get fixed or rectified, it may take 3 to 4 years. I know people don't longer than that, 5 to 6. My point, Covey, is he knows where they're at. And
yeah.
There's no way to manipulate this 162 games this season. And the fact that he's going to endure some more losses and most, I'm trying to be proactive. I can't. They'll probably finish in last place. And at what juncture do you say enough is enough?
Right.
And I'm going to take off and go live my life and I'm going to retire. I get it and understand it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And while the romantic in me and the true sports fan that appreciates Bruce Bochy's tenure, absolutely, I can reflect back on his time and say, my goodness, what a run. And if ever anybody deserves to have that moment to be recognized. It's Bruce Bochy. I mean, there'll be a statue for him. There'll be rose petals thrown at his feet every day from now until the end of time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.